is Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
I don't know about you, but I do have a problem when I look at myself and I look at others. Quite often, I start judging myself by others. Am I better than them or am I not? Am I not like them in their bad ways, and am I like them in their good ways? Am I walking the path that God wants me to walk? As we look at this parable, I just want you to think about that. Because this parable was written, it says right here at the beginning, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down upon everybody else. Some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down upon everyone else. One of the things that we've got to remember that I think we've lost touch with is that when Jesus tells parables, they are relatable and they're supposed to shock us. He quite often uses things that we know. He talks about this small little mustard seed. He talks about very simple things. And they're relatable. Now, I do want you to understand that it's not often that Jesus explains the parables. He does explain some. And sometimes he only explains them once the disciples themselves ask. And they even ask one time, Lord, why do you always teach in parables? And he tells them, I teach in parables because it's not for everyone to know and for everyone to understand the full kingdom of God. Wait, that's what Jesus says? These parables are supposed to shock us. In a couple of months here, I'm going to do a sermon on the parable of the soils. Most of your Bibles will have the title above that saying the parable of the sower. But it's not about the sower. And it's not about the seeds. It's about the soils. And you see, Jesus tells something that people know, something that they can relate to. But in the telling of these parables, there should be something shocking to us. And if you're a student of the New Testament, you'll know that Jesus never looks upon the Pharisees as people that are good. So we've got a Pharisee in this parable, and we've got a tax collector. It should be shocking to us when we read this parable. It really should be shocking to us, but oftentimes it's not. You see, this parable is about prayer. The parable is not about the stance of the prayer, nor is it about the majority of the prayer's contents. It's not about the stance of the prayer, And it's not about the majority of the contents of the prayers. Because for the most part, there's nothing wrong with the content of these prayers. And it's not about how the person is standing. Please don't think that because the Pharisee's standing and praying like this, that that's wrong. Because that would have been the normal way that Jesus prayed. That would have been the normal way that Jesus prayed, is with his hands up, looking to heaven with his eyes open. And so the Pharisee is praying the way that would be normal for them in that day. And that's how most would pray. So it's not about this stance that's wrong. Nor is it about the stance that's wrong probably for the tax collector who is down, and it says he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. And he's probably just looking down and maybe even weeping. It's not about that stance either. It's not saying that one stance over the other is any better. That's not what this parable is about. And it's not about most of the content. It's not about most of the content. Because even in the Old Testament, it says that we should thank God for what we're able to do and how we're able to live. And isn't that how the Pharisee starts his prayer? God, I thank you that I can live this way. I thank you that I can do that. And he even goes on to say, Lord, I thank you that I can live the way you called me to live. You see, the Pharisee was the one who lived by the law and above the law. He was the one that did all the right things. And they even went so far to make up extra commandments so that they could make sure they didn't break any of God's commandments. One of God's commandments says that you should rest on the Sabbath day. So they made up all kinds of rules and regulations on what qualifies rest and what doesn't qualify rest. Okay? Carry a needle in your pocket a certain distance on the Sabbath day and you're working. Sounds a little silly to us. But you see, the Pharisees were doing what they could to make sure they lived by what God was asking them to do. So they not lived just to what God was asking, but they lived above that. Okay? I'm willing to say not all of the Pharisees were egotistical people. Okay? Don't automatically assign all the Pharisees are egotistical people and they're walking around saying, look at me and look at how righteous I am. I don't think they were all doing that. Were there some that were doing that? Oh, I'm sure. Most definitely. But I don't think they all lived that way. I mean, when you read your Gospels, you find a man called Nicodemus. And he comes to talk with Jesus and say, can you help me understand the scriptures some more? Can you help me understand this spiritual journey some more? And as Jesus talks with him, Nicodemus is challenged by that. Jesus says to him, you know, you've got to be born again. Or born from above. It can be translated both ways. And Nicodemus says, what do you mean? How can a man climb back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus ends up looking at Nicodemus and says, you know the law. You understand the scriptures. How can you not understand what I'm trying to tell you? I don't think Nicodemus was an egotistical Pharisee. We find him at the end of Jesus' life and after Jesus is dead, taking care of the body of our Savior. I think he finally got it. But I'm still willing to say he probably continued to live as a Pharisee. but not that egotistical part that we so often think we see as we read the scriptures about Pharisees and Jesus' struggle and conflict with the Pharisees. Now, on the other side of this parable, the tax collector was a cheat who took advantage of his own countrymen and helped the Romans. The tax collector was nothing but a complete cheat. I want you to understand that. A complete cheat. Do we view tax collectors any different today? If you do, please let me know. But in this case, he was much more of a cheat than what we consider tax collectors today. Much more. You see what he did, he's a fellow Jew. And what he did is he would purchase an area, not buying the land, but he would purchase an area from the Romans to collect taxes from. And he would pay the Romans what the tax was due for that area. And he made his money by collecting from his own countrymen more than what he paid the Romans. He's a cheat. He's stealing from his own country people. He's paying $1,000 and he's collecting from them $1,500. He's a cheat. He's not thought of well because he does that. He's not thought of well because he's helping the Romans stay in power. Do you see this? And yet this man comes to the place of prayer and he says a very simple prayer. God, help me, a sinner. There's nothing wrong with his prayer. Well, what's the shocking part of this parable then? Because a good part of everything that's going on here is not shocking, is it? The shocking part of this parable is what's called the sideways prayer. You see, the Pharisee's praying up, and the tax collector's praying down. But the Pharisee also prays sideways. He says, "Thank God I'm not like him." He compares himself with the other person. It's not the upward prayer and it's not the downward prayer. It's the sideways prayer that should be shocking here to us. It's any time that we take time to do that that should be shocking to our lives. I hope you can be honest with yourself because I'll be honest with myself. I do it. I see other people and I say, God, I'm thankful I'm not like that. I'm thankful I don't act that way. I'm thankful that I don't use up all my money in wrong ways and have enough to pay all my bills. I'm thankful that I've done my life in such a way that I can have a place to live and things to take care of myself. Is there anything wrong in being thankful about that? No. But it's wrong when I start looking at the other person. When I start doing that sideways prayer. When I start looking at the other person and say, God, I'm glad I'm not like that person. And I think if all of us are honest with ourselves, we've done it. We've done it. I know I have. Driving through the streets of Richmond and seeing the people sitting on the street corner begging money. I've looked down upon them. I've gone past them without doing anything. Because I automatically assume, you know, they're probably good enough to get a job. I'm not going to help them. That should be the shocking part of this parable. Do we think that we're so much better than those other people? Do we think that God had, look how God has blessed me and I'm glad I'm not like that? See, folks, we need to be careful. Praying up's okay. Praying down's okay. Praying sideways is not. How could the Pharisee have changed that? The Pharisee could have changed that by praying upward for this man, right? Not comparing. I mean, I sure hope, for those of you that are uncomfortable with praying upward, I sure hope that when you're in your car that you're praying upward, not downward. Because some of us are not comfortable with this position of prayer, are we? That's okay. It's okay to pray this way and to look upon God as you pray. It's okay to pray downward. But when we start considering ourselves more righteous than the other folks, or we start considering ourselves better off than the other folks, that's a sideways prayer. And that's comparing ourselves with somebody else. That's looking at somebody else and saying, God, I'm glad I'm not that person. Instead of saying, God, how can I help that person? How can I help to lift that person up? How can I help to bring people up? That's what we need to be about. And I hope that you will think about that, whether it's your words that you say to other folks, or whether it's your prayers. Prayer is an important thing. Prayer is a very important thing. And if we're lifting people up in prayer instead of comparing ourselves with them, that's an effective prayer. So I ask you to think about this. Are there times when you exalt yourself above others? Are there times when you exalt yourself above others? That's the sideways prayer. And I think all of us can work on it a little bit. All of us can work on whether our stance is this way or this way. All of us can work on the sideways prayer. Is that prayer about helping the other person? Is that prayer about finding an opportunity to lift them up, to encourage them, to help them from where they are? Something happened, and I'll close with this. Something happened when a bunch of gentlemen brought an adulterous woman to Jesus. Something happened. We kind of know what happened, but I really don't know everything that went on. Because you see, they brought this woman and said, "You've been caught." And Jesus, we caught her in sin, and the scriptures say, because we caught her in sin, we're supposed to stone her to death. What do you say? And Jesus looks up, and everybody but the woman's gone. We don't know what he was drawing in the sand, but the scriptures say that he knelt down and was drawing something, writing something, And he looked up, and everybody's gone but that woman. And he looked at her and said, "Now go and sin no more." You see, he didn't make that sideways prayer about, "I'm much better than you and I don't need to deal with you." He found a way to lift her up. And something happened in her life that she was able to change her path, I believe, and walk in a way that God called her to go. Because Jesus lifted her up in prayer. He did not condemn her as everybody else wanted to. Are we doing that when we look sideways sometimes? Can you be honest with yourself? Can you be honest with yourself? Let's pray. Lord, these parables should shock us and they should make it hard for us. It's so easy to make the Pharisee out as a bad person and the tax collector as a hero because he did the right thing. But the parable is about whether we're going to do the right thing. And that's why Jesus tells it. So Lord, help us to see it for what it is. Help us to reflect upon our life. Help us to be honest with ourselves because you know our thoughts and you know our actions and you know our words. Help us to see them for what they really are, that we might not have a sideways prayer that holds someone down, but a sideways prayer that lifts someone up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.